In the name of one God, Holy Trinity, Amen. Today, let's live in the story of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. It's a heart-wrenching story, a story of suffering and betrayal and death. It's a long account. And because it's a story that we're all so familiar with, that we've heard over and over again, I think it's easy to miss out on a few key points that John is making. All four Gospels tell the story of Jesus' passion in slightly different ways, at least in the details of what went on that night and the following day in Jerusalem. Each Gospel tells the story of Jesus' capture, trial, and crucifixion in a way that is consistent with the Gospel's portrayal of his life. And this makes sense. People tend to die in much the same way that they live. And Jesus was no exception. And I believe that that points to his full humanity, and at the same time, to his divinity. And by his divinity, I mean his deep, unbreakable connection to God. John's Gospel gives us a very clear picture of Jesus, the man, as also embodying what has come to be called the cosmic Christ. Remember, this is the Gospel that begins with that strange, beautiful, poetic prologue that says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." A few verses later, we are told, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." The rest of John's Gospel goes on in much the same vein. And in John's story, Jesus is very, very aware of his unity with God and of his identity as God's child. He speaks with certainty and authority, and he claims his unbreakable connection with God. He performs miracles and signs of power, and his power and God's power, and he teaches cosmic truths to everybody who has ears to listen, and he also speaks them to those who either can't or won't hear. And I believe that we share in Jesus' unity with God. And I believe that we can learn as much about how to be lights that shine in the darkness from the way that Jesus faced his own suffering and death. I believe we can learn as much from that as we can learn from the way that Jesus lived his life. Life and death on this earth are inseparable. Yesterday we heard the story of the Last Supper according to John, where Jesus washed his friends' feet and gave them a new commandment to love one another. And between the account of that simple, moving human interaction and this passion narrative that we heard today, are five chapters of Jesus teaching, encouraging, and praying for his friends. And once again, using those cosmic descriptions of what it's like to live in the kingdom where God's love rules. He uses language like, "I am the way, and the truth and the life. And what I'm struck with as I read today's Passion account is how Jesus faces his suffering and his death. Jesus did not turn away from his suffering or forget who he was. I think that is so important for us to remember, because often when we suffer, we forget who we are. When faced with a battalion of soldiers armed with lanterns, torches, and weapons, powerful outside forces who meant him great harm, Jesus steps forward and asks, though he knew, "Whom are you looking for?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they say. "I am he." Not once, but twice, Jesus knew who he was and wasn't afraid to say it. Because Jesus didn't just tell the truth. Jesus was the truth. He embodied the truth of God's love. Did that save him? Not from the cross, not from his suffering, not from death, but ultimately it saved him. And he tells us and shows us how being the truth can save us too. Not from death, because just as Jesus the man died that day, we will all die one day. But the truth can save us from darkness. It can set us free. If we know who we are, that is, just like Jesus, beloved children of God, when faced with darkness and danger from without and from within, because much of our own darkness and danger come from within, we can follow Jesus to and through the cross, saying, "I am he, I am she, I am who I am." Because it all hinges on love. On knowing in our minds and in our spirits and in our very bodies that we share the same unbreakable bond with God and God's love that Jesus had, and that is the truth at the core of our beings. Oh, we can deny it, like Peter did, 3 times, in fact. It's easier to deny who we are and where we come from than it is to be the truth. People will misunderstand us, doubt us, even hate us for standing in the truth. In fact, people, Pilate, for instance, in this story, won't even know what we're talking about when we say, "I may or may not be who you say I am, but for this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth." The only thing Pilate can say, and in fact what the world will probably say if we have the nerve to be the truth of God's love in the world, is, "What is truth?" The world might even ask us the next question that occurs to Pilate when faced with the truth. "Where are you from?" It's a great question. And we might ask ourselves that same question. Where am I from? There are many easy answers. But in those dark times in our lives, in those terrible times, which feel like crucifixion and can last moments, or days, or sometimes years, the answer to the question, "Where am I from?" Well, to answer that question with Jackson, Wyoming, or Iowa, or Timbuktu, well, that name of a place seems inadequate to me. I am from God, and I will return to God is the truth. But the world has a hard time believing it. And I think that sometimes we have a hard time believing it too. And that's why I need to be reminded over and over again. And Jesus reminds me of that today. Where are you from? Jesus gives no answer. And the story goes on from there with an inevitable momentum of its own. Jesus tells Pilate that he has no real power over him, even though he is about to have him crucified. And that is just what Pilate allows to happen. Jesus is nailed to a cross. Fully human, fully divine, in all his mystery, Jesus is suspended between heaven and earth on that cross. How can we possibly understand his suffering? How can we possibly understand a God, the creator of this magnificent world we all live in, a loving God who would let such a thing happen to his beloved Son? I don't know that we can understand it any more than we can understand our own suffering or the suffering of those whom we love, or any more than we can understand that claim that I just made, that Jesus, the Christ, was both fully human and fully divine. Our rational minds are left bereft. But John brilliantly gives us Jesus's few last words from the cross, and they shed light. They shed the light of truth on Jesus's nature, and they point us to what can be ours. His time on the cross is not a time for cosmic explanation or complicated theology. The time for that is past. In the agony that he must have been going through, what does he do? He expresses his concern for his mother. "Woman, here is your son." And he expresses his compassion for his friend. "Here is your mother." In these expressions of love, he binds two people together. And even as his own body is being pulled apart and he is about to die, his work of reconciliation in the world goes on. So here in our story today, here in our hearts today, Jesus hangs from a cross. Jesus the man, Jesus the Christ, hangs from a cross, and God is with him. He cannot be separated from God's love in his agony, and neither can we. Even in our darkest, most terrible times, God's love is in us and with us, even as it was in Jesus and with Jesus that day. Then these heartbreaking, beautiful final words, "I am thirsty. Give me one last drink. My body is drying out." "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The Word made flesh returned to God that day on Golgotha. And so, because the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. And there his body lay, in darkness, in silence, in peace. Amen.